Please be seated. The flame of our blood burns inextinguishable despite the wind of centuries. Quiet, a drowned song, soul grief, sorrow contained. And yet, here we are, standing on the side of the road, our faces cracked by a single tear. No one sees us. Humberto Abal, a Maya Quiche poet. So, I have been waiting for these very readings for a long time, especially that Luke bit, you know, when it says, don't worry about what you're going to say, the Holy Spirit will teach you at the very hour the words you need, so don't prepare anything. So last week I threatened Vivian that I wasn't going to prepare anything, I was just going to come here and wing it. But then I changed my mind, and I spent all week, 2 weeks, and all of yesterday, and last night, and this afternoon, working on this sermon. Because this is a momentous occasion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Much preparation has happened to bring this night into being. This is a night long awaited. Long longed for, long worked for, long prayed for. This night, Vivian is offering herself as a living sacrifice, her soul and her body, through the church, to serve our one God, God's people, and all God's holy creation. The I's have been dotted, the T's crossed, the exams given, the meetings held. The bishop is here. The people have gathered. The food has been prepared for this most holy feast, and it is a night of wonder and of gratitude. We say thank you. We say thank you two and three times to the Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We say thank you to that one who brought each one of us here into the world to love and to serve. We thank those who have supported Vivian along the way. Everyone who has seen her spark and her intelligence, her determination, and her faith as deep as Lake Athabasca. It's a deep lake, I looked it up. Vivian's early mentors and sponsors and friends are all part of what made this night happen. And tonight I hold up before you in my heart, I think and give thanks to the Reverend Monty Bingham. Did anyone know Monty? I did know Monty. I think he came to my ordination at St. Michael's because that's where he was for a long time. I do know Monty. And Monty lives still, Quadra Island, 96, 98. Monty was the chaplain in the downtown East Side from the 1960s to the 1990s, and he saw Vivian, and he knew, and he spoke to her the words of love and welcome and belonging. Thank you, Monty. Thank you. Look what fruit you have brought to bear. We give thanks for Vivian's teachers and fellow students from Vancouver School of Theology. I see some of us here. We are here to mark this glorious event. We give thanks for the gift we had of struggling and learning together and listening to God's eternal word to us, those of this generation, called to be bearers of the light, called to be healers, called even, yes, some of us to be prophets. We give thanks to the elders, to Sam George, to the sun dancers, to the drummers, the singers who are here, gifting us with their words and song, with their generosity of spirit and their determination to live their lives in the fullness of the gifts given to them by the Creator, despite the disrespect and outright racism that was historically shown to them and to their ancestors, who bore the original scars of the sin of colonialism. Thank you, Bishop, leaders of the church, who have embraced fully the spirit of reconciliation and have sought and are still seeking pathways that fully honor the dignity and beauty, the complementarity and richness of Indigenous spirituality and ways of being in the world. This evening is a sign of hope beyond the individual sacramental act for which we have all come. For we in the church have said we are more sorry than we can say. We are more sorry than we can say for the travesty, the crime, the sin of Indian residential schools. For our part as the church in the cultural genocide perpetrated on First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children, their families, and communities. We are more sorry than we can say. But much more is required of us than apology. We are called to be each one of us active agents of change, to challenge wherever we encounter the heretical teachings that justify colonial domination of the original peoples and lands in this place that we now call Canada, British Columbia, the Diocese of New Westminster. We are called, as we always have been forever, but tragically forgot in the church's collusion with the dominant political powers of the day, we are called to be the church of the poor, of the forgotten, the unwanted, the refugee, the abandoned, the addicted, the brokenhearted. These are Jesus's most truly beloved. These people, these conditions are not abstract concepts with Vivian. They are lived out in blood and flesh. Vivian, as an intergenerational survivor of residential school, is well acquainted with the spider-armed tentacles of trauma and grief. She knows the inside and the outside of suffering. She knows these things. She is these things. And the beauty of her life is that despite the suffering of the torments devised by the wielders of genocide, those who would assimilate the child to kill the Indian, she clung, like Deacon Vincent of Saragossa, to the true, invincible, and steadfast faith with fierce endurance. Her act is unbelievable. Vivian's faith lived out in her communities is a sign to us of the assurance of God's saving justice that will vanquish all dangers that assault our bodies and all wounds that would harm our souls. Alleluia, our God is victorious. Now, of course, we know that Vivian, like the rest of us mortals, is a faulted human being. She has confusions and doubts, conflicts and weaknesses. Of course she does. I remember a particularly dark and difficult time, the winter of 2011. That year I was in Guatemala, living and learning earth holiness with the Maya Quiche people, and that year Vivian's mother died. It was as if all the demons that had been fought down all of a sudden rose up, and it was shattering. I don't think I have ever read letters more heartbreaking in their detail of the cost of the attempted genocide of Vivian's peoples. Coincidentally, my own mother died a few months later. So the two of us became orphans within months of one another. And somehow, through that loss, the two of us also became elders, carriers of knowledge and truth. One of Vivian's great gifts is her humble knowledge that what good she does, what light she shines, what life she brings, is the act of the Holy Spirit shining in her, and she has worked. It has been almost 15 years since we were at VST together, and since graduation, she has taken on teaching and preaching and mostly caring for the little ones of Christ, those suffering in our midst. With food and medicine, with prayer and sacred ceremony, with shelter and persistent, never giving up love, she has carried out her ministry. At the same time, she has been working with others, trying to find a way for this ministry, this calling, to fit within the bounds of the church. And that is where we are today. We have mostly figured it out. We have come this far, and we are committed to continuing. And so this day we rejoice. In this ordination, we are called to witness to God's word becoming more fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations continues to be revealed, and we stand on the beginning of this new age, making all things new. Christ's saving action, coming to earth to free all people from the chains of hatred and sin, is already breaking out among us as we turn from the powers of darkness, from the sway of greed and violence. We in the world and in the church are being called to an uncompromising love of creation in these times of trial. We are invited to shake off old certainties of how to live on the earth and with one another, and to embrace practices and visions that will renew the sacredness of all creation. Lessons to be learned from Vivian and from others who have never forgotten these holy truths. My friend, the Nobel Peace Prize winner and Maya Quiche elder Rigoberta Menchú says about these days, "They have knocked down our sacred hill to rip out its heart. That is why gold and silver and petroleum, they have become a great evil. For some people believe themselves the owners of everything that is. And that is why this is the no time, the itzkazlem, that our grandfathers and grandmothers saw, where human beings fall apart. These are troubled days. We have wandered far away from our Creator, far away from living well with creation and with one another. We are tipping even now over the edge of catastrophic climate change and species extinction caused by us, by humans, by greed and wrong living. While these things may seem far from us still, or incomprehensible, or impossible, or unbearable, these losses and dangers form the very ground of Vivian's being. Vivian has described herself to me as an environmental refugee. She was born in Uranium City in northern Saskatchewan, where uranium mining ravaged the earth, where uranium sludge, thousands of tons of it, leaked and was intentionally dumped by the 10 mines operating in the region into Holy Lake Athabasca and the other icy lakes from the 1950s till the 1980s. Now, Uranium City is one of the 13 most toxic sites in Canada. And the other half of Vivian's family comes from Fort Chipewyan in northern Alberta, where the tar sands have become the single largest site of toxic contamination in all the world. The whitefish are dying. The caribou are dying. The earth is dying. And yet, from the graveside, we sing, we declare, we proclaim, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. All is not lost. We are invited to turn from our godless ways, from the heretical model of mad industrial growth, from acting as if the earth were ours to plunder and ours to use as a sewer. We are invited to return with humility to God's holy body, our Mother Earth. All because our God is a loving God and calls us to return to right relationship. Again and again, we are invited to be co-creators with God of God's reign of mercy and justice, right now, in this time, in this place, here on earth. We say no to the heresy of models of economic growth that demand the destruction of God's holy body. We say no to the heresy of declaring that God's most beloved children are worthless nobodies. We say yes to Christ, who came to banish the darkness, to lift up the lowly, to protect the vulnerable, to welcome the stranger, to bring release to the captives. We say yes to God's servants everywhere of every race, language, and nation engaged in this work, our brothers and sisters. We say yes to Vivian, because the flame of her blood burns inextinguishable despite the wind of centuries.